Hey, we made it to hour number two. It's Puck and the Go-To Guy to What's Up With That Wednesday. Chris Kidd here as well. Our show brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino DraftKings Sportsbook. Have you seen the trailer for this movie that's coming out here in February called Cocaine Bear?
Is that with Sylvester Stallone?
No, it's a real story.
No, I haven't.
About a bear, a grizzly, that apparently ate a bunch of cocaine and went on this rampage. I can't wait to watch this. This thing, it looks unbelievable.
Actual footage?
I don't even know if it's true. Oh, my God. All right. Headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. What do we got? The Mariners, excuse me. The Sounders have a new GM, Craig Wiebel. New general manager of your Seattle Sounders, taking over for Garth Lagerwey. He took the job with Atlanta. And Craig will be introduced at a 1:30 press conference. For the very latest, I would tune into Jackson Feltz on Twitter. If you're not following Jackson, please do so. He's a great dude. Jackson B. Feltz. He and Anders Hurst all over it for our soccer coverage here on 93.3 KJR FM. Also, they got a podcast up as they do a podcast. I don't know. I don't think it's every day, but in terms of following the World Cup, go to the iHeartRadio app, 93.3. You'll see it there. And, of course, they'll have a podcast up there previewing Team USA against the Netherlands. Big underdogs? Correct?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. I think I saw a plus 330 last night.
Ooh. Well, you know what? Let's go. So, Pulisic, he ruptured the... Is that what he did?
Did he?
I think so.
Hit a Mitch Haniger?
Yeah.
Oh.
God. Jeez.
So you're not going to make fun of soccer players anymore? Getting hurt?
Well, yeah, no. I'm still going to do that, but not him.
No.
Not him. He says he's going to play, though.
Oh, he's going to play.
Yeah, I don't know if it's actually ruptured, but I think it's. They called it something. What was the pelvic? They gave a word, pelvic something. I'm like, yeah, he ruptured his, you know what. Yeah, it didn't. It looked painful. I mean, he was in the hospital.
He's going to play anyway.
He's going to play. Have you seen this story? You know who Cristiano Ronaldo is? You've heard of that?
Yeah, he's a soccer player.
Do you wish... I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing of the people that are listening, the 10 people. When I go, you know Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah, he's a soccer player. And these people driving around town going, why am I digging a ditch right now? Working for minimum wage when I can do that.
I'd be wondering the same thing.
What about him? What's the story?
It's unbelievable.
Do you know he's the one that got benched, right? The coach got upset with him?
He just signed a deal with a Saudi Arabian team that's going to pay him $207 million a year.
A year?
A year. Yeah, I mean, can I repeat that? $207 million a year.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Why could not...
I wonder how many matches that would be.
Matches?
Like, what's a typical soccer player? How many matches do they play in a year?
Oh, I don't know, man.
I mean, is it like 30 or 40 or something like that? So he'd make, what, $5 million a game?
So Pulisic's been, he's been diagnosed with a pelvic contusion. Or ruptured beans, whatever you want to call it, man.
Okay.
He got kicked in the sack, and that looked bad. We can all relate to that, right? Have you ever been kicked there?
Yeah.
I have. Third grade playground. Somebody got mad at me. With cowboy boots.
Yeah, you get the pain, and then on top of that, you can't breathe.
Oh, and you squeal, and it's just awful. All of it. Latest news. Hey, congratulations to Andy McKay. He has been promoted to assistant GM. Response? Would you care to say?
No, I got to admit when I think of Andy McKay, I just remember when we had an interview with him down in Peoria once, and it didn't it didn't go well. I was trying to be chummy with him, and I was giving him a hard time about something, and I got the feeling that, hey, pal, we don't know each other well enough for you to be giving me a hard time. And then the interview didn't go all that well after that.
Shocker.
I like the mental part of his game, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's real into the mental part.
Hey, let's talk a little hockey right now. Boy, they are victorious again, 9-8 in overtime. Mike Benton joins us every single week. Before we get him on, let's hear the highlights from Fitzy.
Up now for Schultz. Back to Sprong. Left circle. Shot through traffic. Tipped in. They score. Alexander Wenberg presents his stick. And the Kraken regain the lead. 3-2. Back up comes Eberle to the high slot. Larson across. McCann scores. Jared McCann has put the Kraken back up. 5-4 with a shot from the right circle, 15:04 left in the second. Daniel Sprong looking to keep it down low. It rolls to Velarde, kicks it up to his forehand, turns it over. Bjorkstrand scores! Oliver Bjorkstrand from the high slot goes off the bar and in, 7-5.
You know, I love sports on radio. There's two sports I really love. You know me and baseball, right? I prefer to listen to the game on radio. Maybe I should admit that working here. I do. I also love hockey on the radio. I don't know why. You shouldn't, because it's too hard to follow it, right? It's hard to follow it on TV, but there's just something about it on radio that I love. I think it's because the audio picks up the ice so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say this about Everett. It's not that Everett did a bad job last year. I'm just saying that the year one to year two improvement for Everett and Dave has been astronomical. It's just been really good. They've got a real good rhythm, and they sound really good. Dave's really funny, and Everett is just a lot of excitement with him. And
yeah, good team. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Hockey announcers, as fast as the game is,
they're so good. We are real honor blessed to have those guys being on the radio for us, and we're also blessed. Hashtag blessed, and hashtag he is our Shinny Hockey host of record. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Kraken Audio Network, it is Mike Benton. Hello, Mike.
I am hashtag blessed to have you guys along here for the ride this morning. I'll also take this moment here. You guys kind of open the door. I'm full-blown propping up Everett Fitzhugh and Dave Tomlinson for what they did last two nights. It's not easy. And we go back to the game Sunday at Anaheim.
That's right.
When there was an epic technical meltdown on the TV side, and they had to siphon their call on Root Sports, something that we didn't know was happening until about an hour or 2 hours before puck drop. And they handled that simulcast job in an emergency with flying colors. And then to go through the wild, the chaotic, the unpredictable, the exhausting but rewarding and memorable game like last night, and navigate 17 goals in a 62-minute span, one goal every basically 3.5 minutes, was yeoman's work. They were fantastic. Standing ovation for those guys. What a game last night.
Yeah, 9-8, Mike. And yet it seemed like people that were hockey purists were apologizing for that, and at the same time saying it was really entertaining. So which is it? Was it a bad game? Was it entertaining? Or I guess maybe in hockey circles it could be both.
Jim, I'll do this for you. Ask me what did last night and eating birthday cake at a party have in common. Go ahead.
What the hell did you just ask me to ask you?
Ask me, what did last night and eating birthday cake at a party have in common?
Okay, Mike, what did last night and eating birthday cake at a party have in common?
It's fun. It felt so good! It felt so good! guys,
I would have used something other than birthday cake. I would have said, hey, what's a night with, like, Kate Upton and last night's game have in common? So much
Jason,
fun. Right,
there go. Jason, goodness. guys, games like these don't happen much. Yeah. I mean, all we were missing was maybe a run of the thrift store for a jean jacket, high tops, a DeLorean that can go 88 miles an hour, and we might as well have been back in the 80s. For that game last night. These games do not happen much. These games grow fans. I can't recall ever not just seeing a game like that happen, but at times trying to keep notes, in which I eventually just said, you know, forget it, shut my laptop in period two. But checking Twitter, I lost count of how many people were talking about this game and talking about the Kraken that I had never seen talk about the Kraken before in my life.
How much do you think? How much do you think it happened after the second period when Allison swore? How much do you think that played into it, too?
Oh, she didn't swear. She didn't swear.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I'm with you, Mike.
Yeah, you guys are both wrong.
What that's a game, okay. though. Yeah. What a game. I mean, I'll go back to a Jim's comment quickly. I mean, Pyrrhus, if you're going to look at this game, because you've been so trained for about 25, 30 years, you've got to play 3-2 hockey. You've got to play 4-3 game hockey. You've got to defensively button up. You know, you're just used to that over and over. But, I mean, guys, this is an entertainment business. And games like that grow fans. You're not going to go through life every day, of course, as I go back to the birthday cake analogy, eating it. It's not healthy for you. But once in a while, you've got to enjoy it. And the Kraken, they've got to button this thing down defensively. They will do that. They've proven that they're a good enough team to do that now, like 11-1-1 last 13 games. But last night did so much to prove about, you know, something about an offense and prove so much about how much this team has arrived and to grow new fans. That's what I enjoyed about it.
Say Shinny five times fast.
Shinny.
No, fast, Mike.
Shinny.
Shinny. Play along, Benton.
Shinny.
Play along.
As
all right.
fast as I can go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wait, let me ask you one more thing about last night's game. So for those of us who don't know hockey that well, like me.
Like you.
What would an equivalent score in the NFL be to 9-8 from last night, and then maybe one like a Mariners game? Would it be like a 16-13 type game?
Oh, man, you're making me go back here on this one. I know Mariners fans won't like me saying this because I grew up watching this team and adoring them as well. You know, my dad took me to games with Dave Henderson, to Ken Griffey Jr. But remember the wild game against Cleveland with that big, massive comeback that was in the late 90s and how high-scoring that was back at Jacobs Field? That had a feel to it, I think. The Kraken came out on the right end of it. I just think about maybe how crazy this game was just from a whole drama scale from maybe this past year when the Mariners beat the Yankees in that extra innings thriller at T-Mobile. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't as high scoring, but you just didn't know what was going to happen next. That's, to me, in essence, why we enjoy sports so much, is just the unpredictable root of it for so many times. When just, you know, you have things unfolding in real time, and it just basically just goes off script, and it's a game to remember for the ages. I think that Mariner-Yankee game got us talking about the Mariners for a long, long time. I think stamped them, put them on the map for a playoff contention. I know it's early here for the Kraken. We've just only passed the quarter pole of the season right now, but we're starting to get to the point where we're also separating the haves and have-nots. And if there's one thing that the Kraken have proved, being that they are a playoff team right now, and they're only 4 points out of first place in the West, scoring was an issue last year. Scoring is no longer an issue here for this team. Ripping off 9 goals, a franchise record, is not easy. And it then created some roster casualties on the Los Angeles Kings. Just this morning, they actually waived Cal Peterson, their goaltender, who was supposed to actually take the mantle over for Jonathan Quick once Quick's done, but Peterson still got a $5 million cap hit, and he was waived this morning. It has created some turmoil on the other side. This is how crazy of a game that this could be sometimes.
How good are they, though? I mean, they get in the postseason. They are in the postseason now. How far can they go? I mean, legitimately, where are they in relation to the rest of the conference?
It's a very fair question, Puck, and I think right now the answer is that they are good enough to be definitely in contention. They are maybe good enough to be a playoff team. Are they good enough to get past the first round? I don't know. And we don't know right now. Those are still very much open questions that, you know, surround this team and, you know, not to be unexpected in season two, because this team is still about 4 months removed from their first season and ripping off the "Hi, my name is" tag on the left side of their chest. But they've already got a core that I think resembles, in chemistry speaking, a team that's been together for about, you know, 4 or 5 years. There's a lot of belief that they can win any game, any given night, any which way you want. Now, to sustain that kind of success in the playoffs, from what we've seen year after year, you've got to have elite-level goaltending. I think at times the Kraken have proven that with Martin Jones. Now, of course, last night definitely, and the Anaheim game where the Kraken won 5-4 is not going to be a work of art. He would tell you that. The sustainability of what he's had in the last month has, I think, good signs. If they can get Philip Grubauer back up to speed like in the Vegas game, that's going to be taking them a long, long way. And ultimately, I think the question here is, can you find a game breaker? Matty Beniers can be that guy, but he's still maybe 3 or 4 years away. He's still a rookie, don't forget. Can you find a game breaker if you're in contention via trade deadline that can supplement, you know, your top line offensively? Can you find a guy in the back end who can be a game breaker as far as maybe a right shot D? Those are questions the Kraken are actually maybe this close to considering. Do they make that move? I don't know yet, because we're still in that very much a gray area period where are they going to be in this for the long haul and be on the upper side of the playoff line threshold, or are they going to be the ones chasing that spot? But the signs are right now are very, very good, guys. They're getting offense here by the bunches. They're getting more people to talk about them. I think that they've gotten past that first phase of, you know, being looked at as, you know, hey, they're a cute expansion team. Now they're getting into the area of respectability, and that last phase afterward is going to be fear. And they do this over and over as far as their offense and get more games like we've seen out of Martin Jones and more maybe out of Philip Grubauer in the Vegas game. You're going to be getting into the fear category, and they've taken a big, big step toward that recently here in this last month with 10 wins.
Mike, what's up on the website? What's up on the Kraken Audio Net? What do you got up there for people to devour?
We will have a long list of takeaways here as far as what last night means very, very soon. But, of course, everything podcasted. We exhausted it last night from the post-game show. Everett and Dave had their takes on this. Nick Olchick and I in that same studio as well where you guys are every morning, already up on the Kraken Audio Network via the iHeartRadio app right now. Go ahead and check it out.
You're the best. Appreciate it, Mike. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you.
Yeah, there he is, Mike Benton. Follow him on Twitter at Benton_Mike, and then all of his recap, his podcast. He does the Day Of podcast previewing the game. You can find there on the Kraken Audio Net there on Twitter.
I don't think he wanted any part of the shinny discussion.
I think he wanted to pass. He really was going more into that cake. I mean, I'm still not following the cake thing. I don't know. Okay.
Well, we all like birthday cake, and that was why.
We do. Well, hey, let me ask you. Cake or pie?
Cake. Wow. Yeah, the corner piece every time if you can get it.
Well, the corner piece. Well, because you get both sides of the frosting. So yeah. You really are just a frosting guy.
Yeah, I could almost do without the cake and just eat frosting straight from the can.
Have you ever ate frosting straight from the can?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Does that surprise you?
No, it does not. I'd probably have some right now if it was here.
Oh, my God. I love frosting. Chris, cake or pie?
Damn, that's tough. Give me cake.
Okay. All right. I like both, you know, but not give me pie. I'm a crust guy. I love crust.
I could do without both, but I couldn't do without ice cream. I got to have.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right. We'll take a break. Coming up next, we've got our voicemails back. Okay, maybe a couple of shinny voicemails. We never know. All right, it's Puck and the Go-To Guy with you here. Show about nothing. It's all brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino, DraftKings Sportsbook. Love the betting. Again, fact or fiction coming up momentarily. We have an update on the bowl. On the bowl. How about the bowl?
Oh, the poll? Yeah, I'll get one for you.
Allison, who would, I think she swore. Jim and others think she did not. It was either Shinny or the...
Wow, Bleepy's winning 57% to 43%.
How about that?
235 votes in so far.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, that's still tight.
When do we call it? Like election night. When do we call it?
We're not going to call this one. She just would not have sworn on the air. And she used a hockey term that we weren't familiar with. You're hearing what you want to be hearing.
Well, but that's for everything.
Yep. I know. And you admit when it's said really fast that it can sound. I mean, she kind of spit it out pretty fast.
It's okay. There's no one's upset. Just admit you did it.
But it was kind of cool because she was like, after she did it, she just said, well, obviously. Like, she didn't go, I screwed up there. She said obviously because shinny hockey means it was just kind of free form and just scattered and informal. And
what did you say there, sir?
Shinny.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Voicemails. It was down yesterday for some reason, but it's back up today. We'll get to those right now. And then, of course, we've got Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. We may have some movement, too. We have to touch on this story in a little bit later because I want to know. I've been asking Jim in every break if it makes me a bad Cougar fan, if I'm hoping it happens. All right. Voicemails. Right now, Christopher goes through them all. He finds the best ones. You can leave us a voicemail. It's a 30-second message on the iHeartRadio app. All complaints go to DickFain at iHeartMedia.com. Chris?
Hey there, Jim. Oh, hey there, Puck. Jim Irsay here. Woo! Yeah. All right. Love to see that. Come on, girl. Get yourself some.
Love to see
it. Right. I mean, last night didn't go the way I planned, so we just been up all night trying to make it better. Oh, yeah. Love to see it.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good Irsay. Yeah. All right, we got a Jim Irsay character. I love it. I mean, come on.
Love to see it.
Christopher.
Last one.
Hey, what's up, baby? It's Jamal Adams. Hey, man, what the f*** is going on with Daryl Taylor? Bro, you want to be a 12th man? Don't be trying to run out on the field blocking for Quandre after he gets the interception. Bring your ass to the stands and help us cheer, because you're playing like shit this year, nah, man. Hey, what's going on with this damn defense? I ain't seen this many brothers run through lines since Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. And Jim Moore over there laughing. You think this is funny? You talking about you don't miss me on the field, but you miss my voicemail. Well, how you feel about now? Man, come on. Jamal, out.
Jamal listens.
The brothers run through more lines than Dwight Gooden
and Daryl Strawberry. Jamal's worth waiting for.
Oh,
he's worth waiting for.
So good. God almighty. I could listen to him. And
we need and to give Pete him Carroll. Something, don't we? I
mean, yes, we do.
Can we give him Kraken tickets? Or,
and here's a plea to Rip. Okay, we're four shows in, Rip. When she came home in that outfit after being in the Huskow, did you say to yourself, maybe I won't go ranching today? All right? No, Rip? Jeez.
No, they were just talking in the bedroom.
No talking, Rip. God, what's wrong with you? All right, let's get to it. Fact or fiction.
We're set to go. Glad you're with us.
It's your shot at our weekly $1,000 and the $10,000 grand prize. It's Fact or Fiction. Brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, the betting capital of the Northwest. Make the beautiful new EQC Sportsbook your home all football season long. Fact or Fiction is on Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
Quickly, congrats to the Reffitt family. Baby Parker Reffitt has arrived. This is baby number 8.
Mm-hmm. God, dang.
And it's the 8th girl for Jordan Reffitt. So congratulations to Jordan and his beautiful family.
Yeah, he tweeted out a picture of his family on Thanksgiving, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable when you just see that and they're all just cute as can be. And so, yeah, congrats, Jordan. And then they got a puppy, too.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? All right, let's. But congratulations, Jordan and his family. Let's get to it. We're going NFL. Jim, you don't like doing it. No one at this station likes doing it. I love taking the under because I do like to have this very sadistic way of watching a game where nothing happens, and I take kind of enjoyment in that.
Yeah, it's a little bit old school, rough and tough, defensive minded.
Well, I don't understand people that don't ever take the under. Well, the reason they set a total points, it's called the over and under.
Yeah.
It's okay to sometimes take the under, especially when a team is red hot on the under. There is no team in the National Football League better on the under this year than your fighting, scrapping, America's favorite team and favorite quarterback, the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are 10-1 this year on the under. 10-1. They're taking on the Baltimore Ravens this week in Baltimore. The total is 38. You say, well, there's no way they can do it. They average 14 points. Take the under in the Ravens-Broncos game, under of 38. Let me repeat, the Broncos in games played this year are 10-1 on the under. Hmm. Under, total, Broncos, Ravens, fact to 49451. Want to text in fiction? Go ahead and make that mistake. Fiction to 49451.
Do you think Las Vegas at some point, though, kind of adjusts to account for the Broncos not scoring much? Apparently, they haven't at this point.
We're going to get into our tweet of the day. Apparently, every teammate hates Russell Wilson. We can hear that audio coming up next. Their team is terrible. Their season is over. The Ravens aren't going to... What are the Ravens going to score?
Well, what'd they have at Jacksonville last week? 27? Well, the Ravens will be in the...
I should have had a half. We'll stay
Ravens
with 30.
Ravens will be, what, 20? 23?
We'll stay with 38, but it should have been 38 and a half, but we'll stay with 38. But whatever.
Like a 23-14 final, something like that?
Well, 23-13. Let's see. The Broncos in their last few games scored 10, 16, 10, 17, 9, and 16.
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying that?
Very much so.
I am too.
Aren't we all?
Oh, my God.
God. The under in the Ravens-Broncos game, 38. I just jobbed myself a half point, but whatever. Because I said it wrong. I've already said 38. It was actually 38.
Okay. And whatever. If it's a tie, then...
Lose.
Okay.
38, the total. Broncos-Ravens. Take the under.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, it'd be crazy to go over with the Broncos. I mean, nobody's going to do that.
It's happened one time.
Yeah.
Take the under, guys. Fact to 49451. Speaking of the Broncos, and oh, by the way, you have 12 minutes of text in fact or fiction. Again, Broncos, Ravens, totals 38. We're taking the under. You got 12 minutes of text in, and thank you to the Emerald Queen Casino. Make the beautiful new EQC Sportsbook your home all football season long. Speaking of the Broncos, speaking of Russell Wilson, well, all of his teammates apparently hate him. You're going to hear some audio coming up next. What's the poll question up to right now? Team Shinny or Team Blitty?
Your team's ahead 58% to 42%, but there's still 22 hours and 40 minutes left.
Jim Moore's got a poll question. Where do you stand? I mean, let's just vote. Vote how you know. Don't let people try to influence your vote. You know what she said. Good for her.
Okay.
I bet
you're trying to influence the vote.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You said you were Team Bleepy.
Team Bleepy. I've been Team Bleepy for a long time.
Yeah. Well.
I bet you it's the highest rated show they've ever had.
Hmm.
I bet you more people came back after the overtime, the post-game show, like I did, praying to sweet baby hockey Jesus that she was going to let some, like an F-bomb go. Or the coup de grace, which would be the MF-er. That's the one. I could have, if she would have done that, I could have said, "You can take me now, Lord."
What I've been waiting for all my life is a hockey analyst
just guns
to swear in between periods of a Kraken game, and it finally happened. Thank you, God.
And thank baby Jesus, baby hockey Jesus, baby Gretzky Jesus. Yeah. You can always send us a tweet. Tweet of the day, Jason Puckett, 20 at Cougs Go.
CK206.
Well, we've heard these rumors before and these reports before, Jimmy, that Russell Wilson is not well-liked with his teammates. We heard it here in Seattle all the time. Some
going
of
back
us,
10 years, isn't it?
Some of us didn't want to buy it. In fact, I did. I was like, I think it's sour grapes from the old teammates. Tom Pelissero and Mike Garofalo do a... not a podcast, but like a video cast.
Can we talk about the hoodie my man Tom Pelissero had? We'll do that later. But
it was a lot going on. A lot going on with that hoodie. And Garofalo, we'll talk to him tomorrow. Looked like that guy had been up with Ursay.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Like, Jesus.
Well, he was sick a week or so ago.
I think maybe that's what it was. That's what it was. Let's just say it was that. And they have detailed a story about, now, God, I went Peter Brady there. A story about issues within the locker room.
One of the things that I've consistently heard about it is Nathaniel Hackett, for everything that's gone wrong and everything that people are saying about his job right now, he has not lost that locker room. Russ has lost some people around that team. He has lost some people in that locker room. Can he right the ship here? He's making $57 million this year. The earliest real out the Broncos would have in his contract would be to move on from him after next season, 2023, at which point they would still have to pay him for 2024, pay him $124 million for 2 years. They're going to have to figure it out with Russell Wilson here. Does it click with a new coach? Are there other things environmentally? Can you get healthy and it's just better? Because remember, Russ was dealing with injuries too. I don't know, but it's an unenviable position right now for George Payton and at least for the next 6 weeks here, Nathaniel Hackett, to be in trying to find answers, whether it's the play caller, whether it's personnel stuff. They've tried different things, Mike. Nothing has resolved it.
And then now there are a story coming out. If you saw it, I think, on Twitter, it was his birthday yesterday. And of course, Ciara did a sexy dance for just him, but then posted it to her social media pages. So was it for him or was it for your followers? And she looked quite great, by the way.
Yeah.
And then they did a big sappy thing on Instagram with her and him posing, and then she did a love letter to him, and then he responded. Everyone had to, like, oh my God, what a beautiful couple. Can you just tell him, hey, happy birthday, boo, love ya. What do you want tonight?
I've not just with him or Ciara, but I've never quite understood that. Like, when everybody gets on Facebook and says how great their spouse is and stuff, you know, like, I like to think that, you know, when Kathy has her birthday, I'll just
say happy birthday.
You want me to do a dance for her and just throw it out on TikTok?
No, we've seen your hips and how you move.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
I was asking Jason.
Yeah. I'll do it. Yeah.
I know. I got
that new knee, though.
I got that white guy no rhythm thing going on. I do.
Just bite your lower lip and you're good.
Yeah.
Mike Kliss, you know who Mike Kliss is?
Yeah, he covers the Broncos for the Post or something. Denver Post?
I think he used to. Now he doesn't.
Oh, Athletic?
Whatever. Yeah, there's a TV station. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
But apparently there was a report that he had a birthday party. And like Bo Callahan from Draft Day, no one showed up. But Mike Kliss says, hey, no, that's not true. And he said, there's been some gossip about Russell Wilson standing in the locker room. Here's some context. Per source, Wilson's wife, Ciara. So Ciara told him. Ciara threw him a birthday party last night. And it, quote, looked like about half the team was there. So only
Maybe only half were invited.
So I think he probably would have invited the whole team. If you invite the, you know, whole team, shouldn't everybody come up? I mean, he's the quarterback and the star player. Should everyone find time to come by and say hello?
Yeah. That'd be great, is to get the reactions to the guys who got the invitations. Like, I'm not going to that.
Yeah,
that guy?
Yeah, the unfiltered stuff.
Yeah.
Old Russell Wilson. No one showing up to his birthday party. He's got his wife shaking her ass on Instagram.
What about next year when it doesn't matter for the Seahawks? Like, when the draft picks don't matter?
Oh, will we care anymore?
Well, I know. Will you be rooting for him again, or will you just hope that it just continues to spiral?
No, but I will not be rooting for him because I will not be rooting for that team.
Okay.
I hate that team. That's my most hated team as a sports fan.
Okay. All right. So then in a way you want him to continue to do poorly.
I would like to see that organization crash and burn.
Okay. Well, you're seeing it.
Yeah, we are. And we can do our updated, what we're going to start doing maybe on this show every day or every week, is giving you the updated tankathon, who we need to be rooting for this weekend in order for the Seahawks to move up in the NFL draft. Mm,
good. And I want the bathrooms to win in the worst way.
And so do I. I mean, bathrooms right now are winning, right, Chris? 12 bathrooms.
Eight touchdowns.
And he has 8 touchdowns.
Correct. So with 6 games to go.
Bathrooms are winning.
Oh, he's still a favorite to win, though.
A slight favorite, Jim, but we'll just hold out hope for bathrooms. Hugh Millen, his weekly visit brought to you by Hunt Services next.